Hey, it's Chris. Before I get this episode going with my 2016 Cleveland Indians World Series postmortem, I would just like to give some quick plugs because I will be in the Northeast Ohio area in a week for the Cleveland Comedy Festival. My full calendar is available at chrisclem.net, but on Tuesday, quick rundown, I will be at the Funny Stop for a roast of their owner. Friday night, Kennedy Theater in Playhouse Square. Saturday night, Hilarities. Thursday night, Sachsenheim Hall. I don't even know my own schedule. Point is, I will be there. Check it out. I hope to see you there. It's always a great time. And again, as I said before, my statistics show almost all of you are in Northeast Ohio. So, hey, come on out. Enjoy this episode. It's a look at the Cleveland Indians without my optimistic sister. So I might get a little dark and sad at times, but you know what? That's what baseball does. It makes you sad. At least if you're a Cleveland fan.
From Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland, Ohio, it is Game 7 of the 2016 World Series. The most magical words in sports. Game 7, World Series. Tonight, the Cleveland Indians and the Chicago Cubs will determine baseball's best for 2016. They have brought it to the very final 27 outs. Or, the way this thing's gone, could there be more? But the Indians had a 3-1 lead, and of course the Cubs have staved off elimination last night and Sunday night to force this Game 7 in what has been a World Series that has captivated the country. Now the pitch. Swung on, line to deep left field. It is gone! You should see the celebration out of the Indians' third base dugout. Rajay Davis. A bullet. Two-run homer down the left field line, clearing the 19-foot wall. We are tied at 6. Davis edging off. He's the tying run at first. Two down, 10th inning, 8-7 Cubs. The set by Montgomery, the pitch. Swung on a little dribbler toward third. Charge by Bryant. Gloves, throws to first. The Cubs have won the World Series. For the first time since 1908.
And it's a moment 108 years in the making. Wait till this year. The Chicago Cubs have won the World Series for the first time since 1908.
And in 10 innings, the Indians have fallen to the Chicago Cubs by a final score of 8-7. Inarguably, one of the most riveting and entertaining World Series.
Terry Francona, your team was down 3 runs, down to your last 4 outs. You forced extra innings. The game ended with a tying run on base. Describe your emotions about this night, this team.
Oh, man, that was some kind of game. I mean, you know, somebody was going to win, somebody was going to lose. I wish they'd have lost.
Nap LaJoie had his day. Wambi made that triple play the year the Tribe were champions of the game. The Gray Eagle soared to the peaks. Smith and Babby ended the streak. Things were great in 48 when Boudreaux had the reins. I'm talking baseball. Shoeless Joe and Kovaleski, Cleveland baseball.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Chris Clem's Cavs Cast. Well, the Indian season's over, and so is this horrible trying to be Tom Hamilton impression. Yeah, the Indians got eliminated. And before I even get any further into this, I just want you to know, yes, I know I have not done a season preview for the Cavs yet. Yes, I know the season is 2 weeks in And the Cavs, well, it's one weekend, and the Cavs have a 5-0 record, which is their best start since the year after the Miracle of Richfield run, 1976-1977. Yes, I know they have looked great. I've watched every game. I've been paying attention. I've still been on board. But I have a lot of thoughts about the Cleveland Indians, and now that they have been eliminated from the World Series, I figure this is the time and this is the place, because I have been dying inside for the last day, and I don't know. There's two things that are clear. This season, it's amazing and it also hurts. And this is officially my favorite Cleveland Indians team of all time, past my beloved 2007 Tribe, the one of Fausto Carmona, aka Roberto Heredia Hernandez, Victor Martinez, Casey Blake, all the rest. And much like that team, this one blew a 3-1 lead and broke my heart. And that's part of the reason why I have a really hard time being as optimistic as everyone else, because I was convinced in the year 2008, the Indians were going to win the World Series. They had lost to the Red Sox the year before after having a 3-1 lead. The National League at that time was much weaker. They had the experience. They still had the same team. And they didn't even make the playoffs. And the worst part about it is that that year, Cliff Lee turned in one of the best single season pitching performances that I have seen in my lifetime. And they couldn't even make it back to the playoffs. So I want to apologize to everybody else if this isn't as optimistic. I don't know if they're going to go back next year. If I'm going to be dead honest, I don't think they will make the World Series again with this roster. And that's part of the reason why I'm so heartbroken. But I'm going to try to keep things positive, okay? Because I was lucky. I followed this team all year. Even though I live in Chicago, this is the third year in a row. 30 year I've been here that I got MLB TV. It's great watching, you know, because baseball is a perfect sport. You just turn it on when you're not, when you're busy or you're doing something else. It's a great background noise sport, and I watched a ton of games because of that. I've watched probably over 100 games. It's not like basketball. I don't go back and watch the games after they're over once I know the score, but it's great keeping up. And I don't know if that's something I got from my grandpa on my mom's side or my grandma on my dad's side, because she ironically used to watch the Cubs all the time because they were on WGN. But I love following baseball. And this year, really, the year they made the playoffs and lost in that one game, I was totally in all year. And this year I was too. And that's the best part about baseball, is that when you follow a team on a playoff run, it's actually exciting to see how they keep going in it. And it's exciting to see if they make it. And if they do make it, that's obviously the most exciting thing in all of sports, say for the end of an NBA Finals game. And this year, the Cavs, you know, they won their championship, experienced bliss from that. And I was keeping my eyes on the Indians, wasn't watching every game. And they strung off a 14-win streak, which I did watch. And, you know, that really just made me fall in love with this team as composed. And as everybody knows, the injuries, all that stuff happened. They were overmatched. Jerry Boines, a.k.a. Paul Hoynes, wrote that article saying the season was over on September 17th. But it's all right. You know, my favorite baseball team was in the World Series. And if you didn't hear the episode I did with my sister, baseball is a big sport in my family. And it's probably, if I had to rank my favorite teams, it would definitely be Cavs number one, definitely Indians number two, and the Browns number three. And the Indians are a lot closer to number one than most people probably realize. I'm not a huge fan of baseball. I only follow the Indians and the AL Central. I don't watch it like the NBA where I watch everything. But I do absolutely love following the Cleveland Indians. And thanks to my lovely wife, I got to go see game one in person in the city of Cleveland. And I did this joke. I did it at Hilarity's the day before the World Series started.
My wife surprised me with a ticket to the game. Yeah, and that's something you got to be super thankful for, and I wasn't. I was actually a complete jerk because I was doing something, and the phone rang, and it was my wife. And I answered, and I was like, hello. And she's like, hey, are you busy? And I'm like, yes, kind of. And she said, what are you doing next Tuesday? And I was like, watching the Indians game on TV. I don't know. I haven't planned that far. Do you need something? And she said, no, what are you doing next Tuesday? And I was like, I don't know. And she said, oh, well, I got you a ticket to game one of the World Series. I love you.
So I got to go to the World Series because of my wife. I went with my dad. Thanks to my wife's best friend for giving us the tickets at face value. It was absolutely amazing, and they won, and it's going to always go down as one of the greatest sporting memories I will ever have in my life. And I don't know if winning game one was a surprise to me or what, because I wasn't expecting anything with these injuries, but man, I was ready to go for the rest of the series. To quote Dan Gilbert, I was all in. Game two happened. They lost. Okay. That happens, you know? They lost, but that's okay. It's not the end of the world. Game three comes by. I'm watching it at my apartment with my wife and my sister, and oh, man, that was a nail-biter, and it was an amazing game. And that's the feeling that it's just like, oh, man, baseball has that excitement level that you can't get anything else. And so then game three, I had a show at Zanies in Chicago, and I didn't watch the game. I listened to the beginning. We watched the first inning and drove down. And then my wife tried to get my attention during the show, and she waved her hand at me, seven. And I was like, what? And she's seven. The Indians had seven runs at that point, and I just freaked out. I was so excited. And then afterwards, we drove all around the city, blasting Cleveland rocks, waving our rally together flags. And I guess maybe this was bad karma. Maybe I jinxed it. Maybe I'm the reason they lost. Oh my God, I never even considered that possibility. But they won. And then, as we all know what happened, you know, they lost the next two games. But game seven, I woke up, my rec league basketball game had been canceled, and I thought, you know what? Corey Kluber's pitching. Andrew Miller and Cody Allen are healthy. I think they're going to win game seven. I should go to Cleveland. I should be in the city. It was already almost 4 o'clock local time, which meant I was going to miss a lot of the game. But I knew in my heart of hearts, the Indians were going to win the World Series. So I got in the car and I drove straight to Cleveland. And by the time I got to Cleveland, they were down 5-1. And I thought to myself, well, I'm not going to be celebrating. I'm not going to be partying afterwards. So I guess I'll just drive downtown and see if I can find a parking spot and just sadly sit outside Progressive Field until the final out, because I've come this far. Why am I going to turn around now? And then something crazy started happening. So I parked the car, start walking down the street. Everybody's walking the exact opposite direction, away from the stadium, because the game is over in their minds. It's the eighth inning. The Indians are down 3 runs at this point. It's 6-3. There's no point in staying around and watching. So they're all walking back. I found an easy parking spot real close on the street for free because people had left. And I'm walking along the street. And I still hear a lot of noise coming from the stadium, but it could be the Cubs fans because there was a ton of them in town. Until I walk past, all the bars are full. There's no way to get in. So I'm standing outside the Clevelander looking through one of their big glass windows through to the TVs inside. And everybody's staring because the Indians had scored a run. So they got one run closer and they had something cooking with Chapman up. And all of a sudden, I hear fireworks, and everybody on the street, because at this point the street is packed with people. It's completely full, not even counting the people inside and all around, but on the sidewalk. And everybody looks around wondering what could have possibly, did they really hit a home run? That fireworks had to have been from the stadium, right? Because the television was on a delay. And then all of a sudden, see the home run on the TV, run around like a maniac, jumping up and down, screaming, hugging strangers. And it was worth coming just for that moment alone, because I felt true joy and connectivity with my fellow fans. And it was just the happiest, most celebratory feeling. And it felt so good. And it made me so excited and pumped and like, yes, 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 yes. It was amazing. And that feeling was just spectacular and awesome. And I ran down to the stadium after that because I had to hear the rest. And when the Indians threw out the base runner in the top of the ninth, oh, the guy coming home, I freaked out. And this weird guy who looked like one of my gym teachers from high school, Linedecker, looked me right in the eyes. He came out of nowhere and he said, "The Indians are going to win this game. Don't you see? It's magic. The Indians are going to win this game, and it is baseball magic." And he walked around and he told like 15 people that. And I was 100% bought in. This was baseball magic, and the Indians were going to win the World Series. They had the top of their lineup coming up in the bottom of the ninth. There's no way they weren't going to win. And then those guys all swung for the fences, and they gave up two runs in the top of the 10th after a terrible rain delay that was pointless. And they lost because the entire season came down to Michael Martinez at bat. Now, before I get to my problems with that, I like to say, I said it on Facebook and it's true, Magic put up a hell of a fight. The Indians fought. They had all the intangibles. They were a true team, and they tried to make up for everything they lacked at this point in the season, and they just didn't have what it took because money always wins. And that's not even a shot at the Cubs for having such a big payroll, because, hey, that's how we got our championship when the Cavs won, and we got to celebrate that. They had a gigantic payroll, the biggest, and that paid off. Money always wins. It always beats magic. Magic isn't real, but cold hard cash is. So that's nothing to be disappointed from that aspect. But the one thing that is easy to be disappointed about is why the hell Michael Martinez is still on the roster. If there was only one tiny, tiny complaint, and because it's actually not a complaint, it's something he does that's so amazing. Terry Francona imbues his teams with a sense of confidence that they can play to the very top of their abilities. And beyond gamesmanship and strategy, that is his greatest talent as a manager. I mean, look at a guy, and I know a lot of it has to do with the fact that they don't have the money to overspend their mistakes. I get that. But a guy like Jose Ramirez last season was my least favorite Indians player. I didn't understand. I was so happy when he got sent back down the minors. He was terrible. And this year he's become one of my favorites. And it's not just because he's good. I mean, you got to see the personality and a lot of stuff from beat reporters have said that Mike Napoli helped him and stuff. But Terry Francona gives these guys a sense of confidence, and he is super loyal to his players. But the problem with that means a guy like Michael Martinez, who got cut and then brought back, who should have stayed cut, is now up to bat in a crucial bottom of the 10th inning, extra inning situation where he is, I don't know if I'm exaggerating, but I think I read he is statistically the worst hitter of all time that has enough plate appearances to qualify. And that was the guy the World Series came down to. And I get, you take Crisp out because you think you might have to throw out another base runner or whatever. But imagine Coco Crisp up in that situation instead of Michael Martinez. Imagine literally anyone. Imagine Chris Gimenez up instead of Michael Martinez. Michael Martinez, I'm sure he's probably a great guy, but that sums up this season in a nutshell. The Indians are so beat up, so broken down that their entire season came down to a Michael fucking Martinez at bat. I'm sorry for cursing, but it was just one of those situations. And as soon as he went up, I knew the game was over. Not to not have faith in my team, but I knew it was over the second he came up. And I texted my sister. I said, "Why isn't he being pinch hit for?" And she said, "There's nobody left." I knew that was it. That's the definition of the 2016 Cleveland Indians. There's nobody left. And that should be their slogan. I want to get a shirt that says "There's nobody left." And it's just a picture of Michael Martinez grounding slowly into the infield. And that's pretty impressive for a team that has nobody left to get into extra innings of Game 7 of the World Series. But damn it, it still hurts. and it's still not okay. And I'm going to play a phone call from Damon Kamen that sums up a lot of how I feel, and I agree with it.
And now, a call from
Damon the Dog Walker Kamen.
Hello, Christopher. Just had to call in on this CavsCast about the Indians. Because, you know what? I'm taking that loss a lot harder than I expected. I had been saying leading up to it, you know what? If we were going to lose to anyone, I'm happy it's the Cubs because I know what it's like to finally break that streak and how good it feels. And a part of me will be happy for them. Turns out that's a bag of horseshit because I am very upset and I don't wish them any joy. I almost wish it had been someone less deserving so it didn't feel like another city was taking our unique underdog breaking the streak title. I don't know. Fucking Cubs, man. Anthony Rizzo, his goddamn face. I hate his fucking face. Him and Contreras and Joan Baez. Ugh. Dexter Fowler with his squinty, stupid batting face. Aye. That was a rough one. Really wanted us to pull that out. Because I mean, we're down so many guys, and I mean, the story just would have—it really would have kept the whole City of Champions thing going. Oh, ah. Fucking Cubs! Like Chicago hasn't had enough titles, and Cleveland—it's about Cleveland. Chicago, it's about the stupid Cubs. They don't even like act like you've been there before. I understand Cubs fans haven't, but Chicago people have. They have a second team that doesn't even root for their own other team in their own city. The entire city of Cleveland roots for all of its team.
I don't like the Cubs fans, and I'm not happy, and I'm very upset. Thank you, Damon. Now, I'm just going to say two more quick things before I end this podcast, and that's first off, not having an argument and I'm not having a debate on this matter, and I'm not here to preach either, because frankly, I can't do anything about it because the old fans love it and the Dolans won't do anything that costs them a cent until they are forced to. But Chief Wahoo is incredibly racist, and I'm well aware of that fact. It doesn't change that I don't love the Indians, and I still have some vintage and throwback stuff that has the Chief on it. I haven't bought anything new with him in a very long time. I prefer the Block C anyways for the simple fact that I had a Indians lamp as a child that had a Block C logo on it, and when they brought that back, in that weird baseball way, like unleashed all this Latin nostalgia that was building up inside me, and I just connected to it instantly. And I also think baseball caps should always have the initials or some logo representing the city that they play for, like lettering, like the Yankees or the LA on the Dodgers hat or the B on Boston or the classic P from the Pirates that Chuck D made so famous, in my eyes anyways. So I love the Black Sea anyways, and it's my preferred logo. But I have great memories of the Chief and all that, and I get why people don't want to get rid of him. So I'm not having this argument, but it needs to go. I'm not debating it either. I get why people don't want it to go, but it does. So I'm not saying keep the Chief. If you want to keep the Chief shirt, burn it, get rid of it. But I'm also not going to lie to you and say I didn't wear any stuff with Chief Wahoo in it this playoff run, because I have an old 70s throwback warm-up and a 90s batting practice and jersey, and I also have a vintage jacket from the 90s, which is in pristine condition. And I don't know if I'm drawing a weird line in my head because I don't have a problem with that or what, because you can't change history. But we definitely should change it. So I'm not saying keep it, and I don't want this next point to get confused by that in any way. They should change the name. They should get rid of Chief Wahoo. I agree with that 100%. Very racist. But I, living in Chicago, I'm friends with a lot of people or in acquaintances with a lot of people who aren't necessarily huge sports fans. They're mostly improvisers or actors or comics or people in the performing arts sphere who, traditionally speaking, aren't huge sports fans. So it was a shock to me when suddenly, 2 weeks ago, everybody seemed to love the Cubs. And not only that, but they had decided that they were going to solve racism, an institutionalized racism that has existed since the dawn of this country, with their pithy and smart-ass social media comments. Yeah, I got something so wise, so well said, yet still funny, that's just going to change the tide. Okay? And I'm not making fun of them, but I find it astoundingly hypocritical and amazing that a city in Chicago and their Cubs fans can suddenly go and demonize Indians fans for their logo, which we can't control because it's a corporate thing, while, and they're patting themselves on the back. They're incredibly flexible. They're like, wow, I really told them mascots aren't people. And I really showed them what cultural appropriation is all about and how bad that is. But congratulations for doing that while supporting a man who has been arrested for domestic violence and Aroldis Chapman, and somehow forgetting the fact that Chicago has a team called the Blackhawks whose logo is a Native American guy. What? Yeah, sure, it might still be more respectful than Chief Wahoo, but that still seems like cultural appropriation for me. And if people aren't mascots, then why is this guy on the chest of every jersey that they have and everywhere around the city because the team's good and I see it all the time? Okay, you're full of shit. Just admit it. You're full of shit. And Cubs fan, you didn't care about this at all 2 weeks ago. And what are you trying to prove? That you're better? You're morally superior? You probably are. But that doesn't mean jack shit. I know plenty of people who have changed, maybe not changed my mind because I never was for it, but opened up my minds up to the idea that I could be wrong. I know tons of people who are also improvisers and people in Cleveland, like James Cotullo or Dina, who are always saying on social media and Facebook why the Chief is bad and why it needs to be changed. But that doesn't mean they can do anything about it except for try to open people's eyes. They're still fans of the team and trying to open up people who don't get it why it's wrong. But what are you trying to prove by these weird, smart-ass, passive-aggressive posts? Even if from people as big as Roy Wood Jr. on The Daily Show, like what is the accomplishment? Do you think that Larry and Charles Dolan have social media? Did you see those guys? One's really old and one's old. I don't think they're very tuned in to what the young kids are thinking right now. I mean, baseball's median age, or the average age of a baseball fan that watches on television, is 57, okay? This is not exactly a generation that's going to be known for its progressivism or their social media savvy. So basically, you're just doing it because you want to feel better than Cleveland fans. And for that, I have to say, fuck you, because you're not. You're not better. Because I know when you were growing up in Delaware or New Jersey or Florida or Oklahoma, you never watched a Cubs game and you never cared. But now that you're here, oh man, the Cubs are so great. I love that song. Go Cubs, go. Oh yeah. Hey Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs could kiss my ass today. I don't want to hear that song either. And so I guess I'm going to man. I'm saying you cannot shame an entire fan base for cultural appropriation while you support a team called the Chicago Blackhawks. Okay? Case closed. And especially on top of that, Aroldis Chapman is a disgusting human being. And one of the things that's maybe his personal thing, but a hot button issue for me, is domestic violence. And if you're a man that hits women, then you are lower than scum to me. So congrats. Yes, Chief Wahoo's racist. And yes, we get it. And the name Indians is Eurocentric. 100%. Cool. Yeah, so go back for cheering for your wife beater and your Native American named, oh wait, that's right, the Chicago Blackhawks, who also are people, not mascots, but not in this case because they're good and we don't want to talk about that. Okay, thank you. Goodbye. But on the topic of changing the name, can we all agree that the Spiders is a terrible name? I would rather have them be called the Cleveland Titos, named after Terry Francona, much like they were the Naps, named after Nap LaJoie, because... or is it Lajoie? I don't know. But the point is, the Spiders is a terrible name. The Richmond Spiders, they already exist. It just reeks of minor league baseball. Change the name to something good. Change the name of the tribe. It doesn't have to be about Indian tribes. It could be about any kind of tribe, right? Are you in the tribe? It could be about the Tribe Called Quest. We could be the Cleveland, a Tribe Called Quest, and we could have Q-Tip as the mascot. And I know that's still a person, but you know, it's just a vibrant thing, vibrant thing, the vibrant thing. The Tribe Called Quest. Fife Dog, rest in peace. The cool thing, too, since I went home for the game is after they lost, I swung by a couple gas station parking lots and picked up lots of unlicensed Cleveland baseball apparel. I can't say Indians because it's not. And although there was a cool shirt I got for my wife and my sister, and I really wish I would have gotten one that says "The Tribe Strikes Back" with the Cleveland Indians logo on the chest replaced with just a font that says Cleveland. And it's written with the Star Wars font. If anybody finds one of those, please pick me one up, 2X. I'll pay you for it. I should have got myself one, and I stupidly didn't. And I'm going to be out of the country next week, and then I will be in town the week after that. But it'll probably all be closed up by then. I guess my final thoughts when it comes to the Indian season is that there's a lot to be hopeful in the future, and everybody's pointing out the 2014-2015 Royals, oh, they went to Game 7 and they came back and won it, and all the players except Napoli and Davis are under team control and everything's lining up to be perfect for them to go back. Baseball is an incredibly hard sport to get back to. Not a lot of teams make the playoffs, and the season is so long that you really need to be healthy and get it going and be on top of your game for a very long period of time. This isn't basketball where the Cavs could slide in on the 8th seed and they could go all the way to the finals this year. I'm not even worried about that. It's really hard to make the playoffs in baseball, and then things have to be going your way. And as you see, when two of your top three starters are out, even though you could go all the way to Game 7 of the World Series, it's really going to affect you because then your ace is pitching for the third time in a week. And he'll fall apart and it won't. We saw what happened. So I am cautious and nervous. And if I'm being honest, I think this is it for this group because baseball is really hard. And I want to be wrong. And I hope I'm wrong. But it's probably the end of the ride. And these things don't come around. In 1996 was probably the Indians' best regular season team. And they lost in the first round of the playoffs. You never know what's going to happen. And I'll prove it to you. I'm going to play this song. I'm going to play it in its whole because it's specifically a version about the 2008 Cleveland Indians. And this will be to close out the show. And I don't want to end this on this sad of a note, but before this year, the 2007 Cleveland Indians were my favorite baseball team of all time. I went to 23 games that season, which was about 20 more than I had ever gone to in 1 year before. And I had such a blast following that team. I went to every 12 o'clock game they had on Thursday that year. I saw a great game where Fausto Carmona outdueled the dude that used to play for the Twins. And I can't remember his name. Johan Santana. Yeah, I looked it up. It was Johan Santana. And I remember that game. It was a 2-0 victory over Santana, and the Twins were good that year, and the Indians rival for the Central Division. And I also saw Grady Sizemore in the park home run that year. It was just a great season to be a fan of the Tribe. The next year, I was convinced that they were going to win the World Series. They had everybody back. Why wouldn't they? They'll be even better than they were the year before. And they didn't. They didn't even make the playoffs. And the worst part about it is that Cliff Lee had an amazing season that year, and they still didn't even make the playoffs, let alone the World Series, and let alone win it. And I said this at the opening of the show, but I'm trying to get more in-depth into why I think nothing is guaranteed. You know, I don't know if they'll go back, but I found this song on YouTube, and after the series was over, I listened to it, and I listened to all the references and players that he talks about, and I got really sad, and I realized that this is probably going to be it, and that's just what we got to take, what we can get. And while it would have been amazing to have the Cavs and the Indians win the championship in the same year, you know, sometimes it's just not meant to be. And he couldn't ask for anything more than a team this depleted, but it would have been really, really nice if they could have won. But they didn't. And thanks for the season. And it was a blast following the Indians all year. And luckily, Cavs season's going on now, so I can completely ignore the Browns because they're another level of awful. Thanks for listening. I know I'm not a baseball expert. I'm probably not a basketball expert either, but I hope you enjoyed these couple episodes talking about the 2016 World Series American League pennant winning Cleveland Indians. Because in the words of a bumper sticker that used to be on the back of my grandpa's Ford Festiva, I love that tribe. Thanks for listening, and here's to 2017. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope they do win the World Series next year.
Nap LaJoie had his day. Wambi made that triple play the year the tribe were champions of the game. The Gray Eagle soared to the peaks. Smith and Babby ended the streak. Things were great in 48 when Boudreaux had the reins. I'm talking baseball. Shoeless Joe and Kovaleski. Cleveland baseball. Trotsky, Dell, Narleski. Averill, Rapid Robin, Cullen Bine. When Bearden took the Sox, he gave us pride. Talking baseball. Baseball and the tribe. Senor Lopez gave the orders, and from south of the border, Avila came to take the batting crown. Roger Maris, what a pity, gone off to Kansas City, but Rocky was knocking him out all over American League towns. I'm talking baseball, Lemon Wynn and Tito, Cleveland baseball, Dobby Calavito, the Indians had Rosen on their side. John Romano and Tion kicking high. I'm talking baseball. Baseball and the tribe. Talking Cleveland Indian baseball. Satchel and Sudden Sam. Calavito's four in just one game. Herbie score. What a shame. Barker 27 in a row. Come back, Joe Charbonneau. ...2008's another year, and the tribe has got their game in gear, dreaming of the classic in the fall. Cabrera can give us more, and Borowski's closing the door. Fausto is learning and Bird is returning, so let's play ball. Talking baseball. Grady Sizemore, Casey Blake, Cleveland baseball. Sabathia and Jake, Garko and Martinez riding high. Travis and Johnny are the guys. I'm talking baseball. Baseball and the tribe. I'm talking baseball. Baseball and the tribe. Talking baseball. Baseball and the tribe. Cleveland baseball. Baseball and the tribe. The Cleveland Indians. Baseball and the tribe. I'm talking baseball. Baseball. Baseball and the tribe.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.
Part of me will be happy for them. A small part. But that being said, fuck the Cubs. Roll Tribe, baby.
It's the year of redemption. Let's do it. I love you.